Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden, and Draven. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. How are we today? Two thumbs up from Hayden. Wow, what a day.
We'd
love to see it. Rocking his Nationals World Series hoodie, feeling like a winner, looking like a winner. Cameron, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's game day for me, so you know I'm doing good.
You really?
Yeah.
I feel like game day for you would be like, dread.
No, I'm always pumped on game day. It's just usually after the game day.
The 1-6 Falcons taking on the 3-4? Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, we're coming for that third spot in the division. They better watch out.
It's a good spot for the Falcons tonight, I think.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm excited to watch them tonight.
I like it. Panthers under 24 points again.
Panthers under 24 points again. Okay, we'll watch some football tonight. Be nice to get football back. Yeah. Felt weird last night, no sports on.
Yeah, it was really weird. I didn't know what to do with myself.
No sports on. So we have no sports to come in to talk to, right? We have nothing to come in to be like, hey, here's what happened last night.
Yeah.
Because nothing happened. What the hell? You can't just give us sports nonstop for, 4 months and then be like, okay, now it's over.
It's out of nowhere, too, almost. Abruptly just ended.
The front page of ESPN's like way too early 2021 MLB power rankings. No one cares about that when the season's going on. No one cares about MLB power rankings when the season's going on, much less right now, 6 months before the season begins. What are we doing?
Yeah, they were scratching the barrel there.
Where are the sports? Bring them back. Like, what's the story of the day, Cam? Do you have one? I feel bad even asking you.
I'd say it's either the NFL dealing with some more COVID stuff.
Oh, God, again? More
yeah,
COVID?
Yeah, a couple teams have some more tests positive today. Either that or the Rockets hired a coach last night. Stephen Silas. I don't know how people pronounce
that. I'm going to pronounce that as Stephen until otherwise told. Just because, like, I feel like Steph's the only one running around going by Stephen.
I think so, too.
Fuck everyone else is going by Steven. Okay, so Steven Silas, is that the son of Paul Silas?
It is.
Paul Silas worked for a long time in the NBA, right?
Yep.
Poor Jeff Van Gundy takes another L. Just never going to get a job.
Is it worse? His brother got a job?
Well, his brother's been in the league more recently.
I guess so.
Like, it's always weird that Jeff Van Gundy gets interviewed because, like, he hasn't coached in, like, 15 years. Like the 06 Rockets, I would say, like, is the last time he coached. So it's always weird that he gets brought back up. And yeah, his brother got a pretty good job. But Stan was just coaching a couple years ago. He hasn't been out of the league. 07, I guess, Rockets. Where's Jeff's last team?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we got I guess the NBA wanted some diversity. We hired a black coach.
Yeah,
that's good. Steven Silas, a little more diversity. So I guess the Rockets, I mean, they had J.B. Bickerstaff for a little bit, so they have tried to make an effort to hire some diverse candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if Steven Silas is going to have the respect of James Harden.
Well, apparently he's coached people like, of course, Luka. Apparently he's coached Steph and Kimba at stops throughout the league, so that's part of the reason they were bringing him in, because of his experience coaching those big-time guards.
Yeah, but he still wasn't the head coach.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like that's always going to be the issue. It's nice to hire assistant coaches. Like, I would rather do that in most instances rather than have a retread.
Mm-hmm.
Like, try to find the next star, try to find the next guy that's going to be good. But it does get a little tricky when you have a star like James Harden.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I'm sure he'll be respected. I mean, coming from that family and stuff like that, I think they'll respect him, especially if they, you want to... If he's really selling you on, like, the trying to win and stuff, I think they'll kind of try and buy in.
Apparently, he sold the Rockets on his offensive ingenuity and a strong family history in 20 seasons as an NBA assistant. So I guess he's been around the block for a while. How old is this guy?
47, I think.
He's been in the league for 20 years as an assistant. Yeah, he's paid his dues. Yep. And like you said, he has coached Luka, Steph, Kemba. Now he gets James and Russell, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. See how that plays out.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. It's a, you know, I like when the assistants get a new chance and, like, you try to find new stars between this guy and the guy that the Pacers hired off of Nick Nurse's coaching staff. We'll have two new faces in there.
Yep.
Offensive ingenuity. Like, what does that mean? What are you going to do? Like, just what basically the Mavericks are doing? Because, I mean, like, I think Luka's best comparison probably is James Harden in terms of, like, what, you know, a star could, what he could look like. Now, maybe he's, like, a souped-up version of James Harden that can actually, like, you know, play some defense. Although Harden's gotten better at defense, so maybe that's unfair. But, like, I feel like, you know, it'll look just like the Rockets. Or the Rockets' offense will look just like the Mavericks' offense looked like. But either way.
Yeah, I don't know really how creative you can get. I don't know.
Although, like, you know, we talked about the diversity hire. And you're like, hey, look, you know, hired a black coach, so people are happy about that. And then you get down, you're like, okay, so this guy is a 20-year assistant with a pedigree of his dad being in the NBA forever. And he went to Brown University. He's an Ivy Leaguer. So, like, you too could get a job in 20 years as a head coach if you had family history and served as an assistant for 20 years and went to an Ivy League school. So, okay. Hopefully it works out. We'll see what happens. We got our first bit of salary cap news from sports, like, coming out of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, the NFL. Okay. You know, that's something I kept an eye on with the NFL because, like, if you're the Titans, for instance, and you're talking about making a trade, you have $7 million in cap space. But the salary cap might go down next year, so you kind of want to roll over every dollar possible next year to not have to make some, like, cuts. That's having to be thought of for NFL teams. In the NBA, we got, a report yesterday that the revenue for the season dropped 10% down to $8.3 billion.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because of the coronavirus, and they lost some money from the China debacle. $800 million in loss in gate receipts. $400 million in loss of sponsorships and merchandise. And then $200 million in what they had deemed net negative impact from the beef with China over Hong Kong. Whenever I tell you that you've lost 10%, so what's 10% of $8.3 billion? $830 million, basically? Well, I guess you'd be losing 10% from, like, $9.4 billion or something like that, $9.2 billion. Because I just told you lost, $1.4
billion
now. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, now when I tell you that you've lost over $1 billion in revenue from one year to the next, that means to me that you are going to get this December 22nd start.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The NBA is going to have to make every move they can and try to maximize their revenue in 2021, especially with the prospect that, I mean, like, we're probably not going to have fans, right? I mean, the Super Bowl has already came out and said we're doing 20%. So I don't really think the NBA is going to be packing people into the gills either.
Yeah, especially not in December, if that's,
definitely not in December. Like, maybe by the playoffs next year, maybe.
Yeah.
But if I'm the NBA, like, I don't know, whenever I set budgets, whenever I set and try to plan for the future, I always do, like, worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
And then if I have a windfall, if I have something come in, if the check's a little bit higher than I thought, okay, that's nice. Got a little extra money. So if I'm the NBA, I'm preparing as if we're going to have very, very limited people in the seats throughout the season. I'm not banking on, 100% of people back for the playoffs.
Which would be smart.
At least I'm not putting that in my budget.
Yeah, that would be smart. I really don't think we'll have anything close to full stadiums till, like, a vaccine comes out. I don't think you're going to get really anything till then.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I
think they're going to keep these limited capacities till people. Because I feel like once a vaccine comes out, you can be like, hey, like, all right, see, you have the option to be vaccinated, so now we can kind of almost full send this.
Yeah.
We don't know how long that's going to be, so.
Yeah, so, like, now they're trying to figure out what to do. They're trying to keep the salary cap around $109 million, which is where it's at, so they're not going to raise it. And then they're having to try to make players put some of their money towards an escrow fund. It's going to be complicated, but we have our first indication of how the business side of sports will work over the next year or so. The NBA bubble was able to get back at $1.5 billion for them.
Yeah, that's big. That's big.
They almost walked out of that, but they were able to do that. So the NBA is trying to figure out how they're going to be off and running next year. They're talking about having just regional bubbles. Maybe the teams closest together play each other for, you know, a couple weeks.
You kind of do the...
Then you take a week off and you go to a new bubble.
So I guess, yeah, you could kind of rock out your division almost in most cases.
Go ahead and play a bunch of those games. They've talked about playing only the first half of the season, then resetting to see how many games are going to be made up and put that in the second half schedule. They're trying to, I guess they're going to be an innovator here, or they're going to be at least try to be flexible as they were for the bubble.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, they're also trying to race to get next year done before the Olympics, apparently. July 23rd, although I would imagine most of these NBA players are not going to want to go to the Tokyo Olympics.
Yeah.
Especially the good ones who have had, like, a lot of basketball in a short amount of time.
Yeah, that's going to be an opportunity for a lot of the young guys, probably.
Yeah.
That want to get their name out there.
So I guess that's the story of the day, which means that we're going to have to scrape together a show today. Going to be a lot of hypothetical talk here, because there's not a lot actually going on in sports. We'll do it for you, though. We'll get it done. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Go pick you up a 12-pack or a 6-pack of White Claw. Made pure, crafted using their unique brew pure process and only the finest flavors to deliver a surge of pure refreshment in a hard seltzer like no other. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure, only 100 calories. Hayden came in today, still arguing with me about yesterday's conversation. About Texas A&M and South Carolina. He says, I can't believe that you compare Texas A&M to South Carolina. To which I said, look at the last 20 years, they're the same program. The 20 years. What he said there. Do you want to like actually go through the numbers of Texas A&M and South Carolina?
I said they've only been in the SEC since 2012.
It don't matter. They're the same program basically since 2012. I mean, they're the same program. Now, I mean, granted, like, I mean, I guess since 2012 they've probably been a little bit better, but not
What's
much.
What's their head-to-head record? They play every year. What's their head-to-head record?
Is that their cross rival?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, for some reason.
That seems stupid.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what their head-to-head record is. What is their head-to-head record?
I don't know.
I mean, I know since 2000, you know, Texas A&M has been in the top 25 at the end of the year only four times since the year 2000, whereas South Carolina has been in there one, two, three, four, five, six times. I know, like, the past 20 years, South Carolina finished at number four in the country, which is higher than Texas A&M finished at five. That's all I'm saying. They're a pretty comparable program. I know South Carolina's got more non-win seasons, or at least more double-digit win seasons the last decade. I'll have to count the nine. I haven't actually counted the nine because I'm just looking at the double digits. You know, Texas A&M, this big program you've been talking about for 2 days now, has won double-digit games once since 2000, by the way.
This is going to hurt your feelings right here, John.
No, it's not, because I don't care what their head-to-head record is. They're the same program.
6-0.
Don't care. Doesn't hurt my feelings at all because I just gave you the stats.
A&M's a better team.
They haven't finished with double-digit wins more than once.
They
the
play a tougher schedule than South Carolina.
The last 20 years. They're the same program. They're just on a different side.
Okay.
It's true.
So the head-to-head record doesn't matter.
Not to me.
So you're saying if you put Texas A&M in the East, they wouldn't have more wins than South Carolina?
They would have basically the same.
No, that is a lie. They would have way more.
The last 20 years, they would have basically the same.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. They're not doing better than what Steve Spurrier did.
They're better than South Carolina. They beat them every year. How are they not better?
I told you why. I just told you their program's credentials. They didn't play in the SEC the entire time either. They weren't winning in the Big 12 either. They have been the same program they've always been. I mean, again, three 11-win seasons for South Carolina, one for Texas A&M, the last 20 years.
I'm not talking about the last 20 years.
I am. It takes more than 4 years for me to say you're a different program.
They've been SC for like 8 years.
Then why did they only play South Carolina six times?
Because they didn't start the new conference schedule until 2014.
Well, that's stupid. They already got their ass beat in 2013. They're lucky. Would have. It's true.
Okay.
Again, they have finished in the AP top 25 four times the last 20 years at the end of the year. Four times. They have finished in the top 10 once.
What about the last 8 years?
South Carolina has done it.
What about the last 8 years? Look at the last 8 years.
Last three times. I'm talking about 20 years. I'm talking about history.
I'm talking about 8 years.
And they've been in the SEC. Like, it takes longer than that.
You're talking about 20 because it fits your narrative.
It takes longer than that to define a program.
I'm talking about them in the SEC. That is a clear benchmark. Them in the SEC.
I mean, they have finished in the. I mean, they have finished lower than South Carolina. Again, since they've been in the SEC, they have finished at the highest, fifth. South Carolina finished fourth a year later. They finished the highest they have finished since getting in the SEC besides fifth is 16th in the country. Like, okay. I'm just saying, like, Texas A&M is not some good program. They are not good.
I'm not saying they're good. No, I'm saying they're better than South Carolina.
No, you're acting as if they are good. They are the South Carolina equivalent in the West. That's who they are. That's who they are.
Cam, what do you think?
What do I think? I don't like this argument at all.
I mean,
I'm just saying it's irrelevant.
6-0. It's not been close.
It's been, I don't know. Well, I looked at it. A lot of those were one possession games.
It's 6-0, though. I mean, if they're comparable, South Carolina will at least win one game. One game. In 6 years.
I mean, I don't know how many more stats I have to give you. Like, I mean, like, again,
I'm giving you the only stat that matters. 6-0.
I mean, I'm sitting here telling you 9-4, 8-5, 8-5.
Because they play a tougher schedule in the SEC West.
No, it's because they are Texas A&M, and that's what they do. They did the same thing in the Big 12. They weren't playing the SEC West schedule there. They are an 8-win program. That's the point. They did the same thing in the Big 12. The 10 years before. That's why I went 20 years. It's not like they got to the SEC West and all of a sudden started winning less games. They actually started winning more games. They were worse than the Big 12. So your whole SEC West argument, to me, doesn't make sense because they have been the same program the entire time I've been alive. Since moving to a Power 5 conference, the Big 12, they have won double-digit games twice since 1996. We're talking about Texas A&M as if they are a good program. They are not. That's it. That's all I wanted to say. No further points. And again, the SEC West argument, are we still worried about that in terms of when we look at the conference? Are we still thinking the SEC West is so much better? Because, yes, LSU and Alabama were great
last year.
Not this year,
but it has been the last 10 years.
LSU was great last year. Alabama was good. Really good. Outside of that, I don't think anybody was good. And who was the third best team? Auburn, who got smacked by Minnesota. And this year, I mean, like, who's the second best team this year? Arkansas?
It's Texas A&M.
Second best team in the West?
I mean, it probably is Texas A&M, which proves the point of the West isn't very good this year.
I guess we'll find out. They play Arkansas this week, right?
Texas A&M and Arkansas for second place in the West? I guess so. We'll find out who the second best team is. But, like, I mean, am I wrong, or is the SEC West bad this year?
Yeah,
it just feels good. Like Alabama and everybody else, right?
Yeah. Pretty
much.
We're just a little bit late on these narratives, I think. Because you had a yesterday still yelling about the SEC West, too. And I feel like has it not been that way the last couple years?
I'd say A&M's almost the Kentucky of the West.
You just call it more of Kentucky? And that might be fair if you want to make them Kentucky instead. I'm just basically saying I think of them in that light. They are second or third tier. They always have been. They always will be. I mean, yeah, 3 years ago we had what? LSU was 5-3 in the conference. Mm-hmm. I guess they were 10-3 overall. Texas A&M was 5-3 in the conference, 9-4 overall. I mean, yeah, the West wasn't very good 2 years ago either. I feel like that narrative is...
2 years ago, Kentucky had 10 wins.
Kentucky's better than A&M. There we go. Does that make you feel better to use Kentucky instead of South Carolina? I would say Kentucky and A&M's probably been pretty comparable the last 6 years, right?
Yeah.
Under Stoops?
Yeah.
Kentucky's above South Carolina, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they had in the last 6 years, yeah, the last 20 years, no. The last 6 years, yes.
You keep saying 20 years. South Carolina had 3 good years in a row.
I mean,
that's it.
They finished top 5 in the top 10 in the country.
In those 3 years.
I mean, that's fine, I'm saying, but I mean, like, I'm looking
at... They didn't have Alshon Jeffrey. They're terrible.
Okay, last 10
we
years.
We haven't done that.
I mean, since 2010, I'm looking at a 20-year sample size because I'm trying to give more perspective than just what have you done for me lately, because, yes, Will Muschamp hasn't been very good at South Carolina. He's been okay. He won the Outback Bowl once. He got to 9-4. That's pretty much it. Like, they should fire him. But, like, I mean, not the last 20 years, since 2011. Last 10 years. I mean, like, does that make it better? Does that make you feel better? I mean, those Spurrier years were 10 years ago. 2010, they finished 22nd in the country. 2011, 9th. 2012, 8th. 2013, 4th. What's Kentucky's last decade actually look like? Or the last, like, 6 years?
Kentucky?
Yeah, because, I mean, I know they've
got pulled up. They went, last year, they're 8-5. And then before that, 10-3, 7-6, 7-6.
5-7, 5-7, 7-2, 2-2. Never mind. Take that back.
Yeah, they were bad those couple years.
Yeah, take that back.
Joker Phillips.
We always felt so much better about Mark Stoops. I forgot. Like, we were claiming he was going. He was going 5-7 and 7-5. But he did have that 1-10-3 year.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think last year was a pretty good year with Bowden. But no, they're 2-3 this year. What are we talking about with Kentucky? South Carolina, I think, is still better than Kentucky. Right. If we're just ranking programs, maybe not like right now on the field, but like I feel like we could take South Carolina and they'd be better than Kentucky.
Yep. Yeah. Hmm.
Texas A&M Arkansas is really the game of the week this week, huh? In the SEC. My God, what a terrible weekend of football.
I think it could be a good game, though.
I mean, it probably will be a good game. Yeah. No, you're 100% right, but it goes to what I'm saying. Like, this is... If this is the second best team in the West this year, like, the West is awful. So Alabama better not stumble at all, because they might not have that schedule to fall back on this year.
I feel like LSU, if they play as well as they did last week, they could take over the number 2 spot. But until further notice, it's going to be A&M.
I need to see them do something more than just beat up South Carolina at home. Because they're talking about going back to their quarterback, right? I mean, I thought that freshman looked pretty good.
He looked great.
And did some things that they needed him to do. And they're talking about going back to, what's it, Miles Brennan?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was still supposed to be out this week, I think.
Yeah, well, they're talking about whether or not he was going to be playing. To which, if I feel like if I'm Orgeron, I'm just saying, like, hey, we're going to roll with this guy right now.
Yeah.
We'll see if LSU rebounds and can get, you know, back on track and be the second best team. Because the West needs him to be. But we're just looking at the East versus West, like, again, like, LSU being so good last year helps them a lot, but, you know, Florida and Georgia are in a better position year in, year out than Alabama and whoever their number 2 is, right?
Mm-hmm.
In most years recently, since Mullen got there, which I guess it's only been, 2 years since Mullen got there? This is only his year 3, so I guess that's not fair. Eh. Okay. Just wanted to yell at Hayden about Texas A&M because it's the first thing he said to me today when I came in the office. I can't believe it's all this about Texas A&M. A team that's won 11 games once in the last 25 years.
You still not convince me. They're better than South Carolina.
That's fine. You can be wrong if you want. They're the same program. They're an 8-win program.
When these two programs meet.
That's fine.
They're undefeated.
That's fine. It's okay.
So it doesn't matter.
Not to me. Not really.
Okay.
I mean, not really.
Change the narrative, Draven.
What's the narrative?
You think the South Carolina's better?
No, I said they're the same.
Mm-mm.
Yes, yesterday I said they were the same program.
Well, they would be the same if they tied every time, but they don't.
You can't tie in college football. I don't know if you know that rule. There's no ties in college football.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's no ties.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No, they're the same program in the sense of, like, they win 8 games. Like, they're just second, also Rands. Like, it was really a point against Texas A&M. You're acting like Texas A&M is good. That's where this argument started. You're talking about Texas A&M yesterday.
I never said they were good. Draven, I said they were good. I said they were better than South Carolina. That's what I said.
So you just randomly brought an argument that Texas A&M is better than South Carolina?
We were talking about the strength of the SEC West and the strength of the SEC East.
And I said that they're basically the same in the pecking order. You're acting like you brought Texas A&M to the fight as if Texas A&M is some powerhouse. And I'm telling you, for the entirety of their career, they have been for the entirety of their program, they've been an 8-win program. It's just who they are. That was the joke of Kevin Sumlin, his entire career. That was it. That's all I'm saying. That's it. That's all I was saying. to me, they're the equivalent of. I mean, you could say Tennessee. I guess if we ever got back to winning 8-8 games, they're an afterthought. They are not elite. That's all the point I was going for. That was the big picture point I was trying to make. And then you tried to hone in on Tennessee, or you tried to hone in on Texas A&M versus South Carolina to try to make that feel like a win. That would make Texas A&M elite because they were better than South Carolina. That's what happened here.
They're not elite. I'm telling you, they're just better than South Carolina.
Just cut a break. No one's interested in this conversation. Putting Cam and Draven to sleep. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
We know everyone has some pent up.
You know, we arguing about Texas A&M, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky. I think even as bad as the situation as Tennessee is in right now, at least I personally look at Texas and say it could be worse. When I look and see what's going on with Texas, it could be worse. Yesterday, it continued to get worse for Texas as the number one overall prospect in the 2022 class, Quinn Ewers, a hometown, home state, elite quarterback prospect, said, you know what, I'm not coming to Texas anymore. I'm decommitting. Apparently, all signs point to him ending up at Ohio State. Have you seen a picture of this guy? This guy's going to be such a villain.
I haven't seen the picture.
He's got a blonde mullet.
Oh, no.
And his
way.
Name is Quinn Ewers. Like, he is going to be such a villain at Ohio State if that's where he ends up, which was where everyone thinks he is going to end up. He is the number one player in the country on 247. He is the number two player overall in terms of their 247 composite. This guy's apparently a stud. Hey, and you were saying he's great as the best quarterback prospect since Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck. Yes.
Was Trevor Lawrence thought of like that coming out of high school?
Yeah.
Like where he was number one. Like, I know he's a five-star in Tennessee, one, but I didn't know he was like thought of as like the number one player in the country. I didn't know that was where he was ranked. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, he's lived up to that. Yep, number one national player in the country according to other composites. Well, so, yeah. I mean, he's lived up to the hype, you know, as a 6'6 quarterback. I mean, right? I mean, he's every bit as good as he was supposed to be.
Yep.
And I will say this, Quinn Ewers guy is he's 6'3", so he's not going to have the same physical frame as Trevor Lawrence did, and I don't know if he's as athletic as Trevor Lawrence is, but you know, you're in hot company there if you're a quarterback that's number one in the country.
I am cracking up at this guy's hair.
He's going to be such a villain.
I think he's more athletic than Trevor Lawrence. I want to say he's a
runner.
There's
no way he's more athletic than Trevor Lawrence.
I think he's a runner.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence is fast.
I know, but I feel like Trevor Lawrence doesn't really move around the pocket.
Well, he's listed as a pro-style quarterback, so I don't know.
Okay.
Let me watch some.
But I mean, Trevor Lawrence ran away from Ohio State's defense full of pros last year. So if he's more athletic than Trevor Lawrence, he is going to be a absolute monster.
I wonder what's tougher, being in South Georgia where Trevor Lawrence played in high school, or Texas.
Well, I would say in Texas it's more. You mean like what's
tougher? What high school did Lawrence go to?
Cartersville.
I can't remember if Cartersville is 7-5A or not.
I mean, I just feel like Texas football is like its own animal, right? I mean, like in Georgia, they're not spending millions of dollars in the program, are they?
No, I wouldn't say millions, but
in Texas, like that's like the whole thing. They got like, you know, NFL stadiums for high school places.
Yeah, some of those high schools still aren't good, though. They just have the big stadiums and they invest in them, but
I've just always thought Texas football was the pinnacle, but I don't know. I mean, I know Georgia's really good, too, and I know the athletes might be better in Georgia. I just don't. Who knows? Not really interested in following up South Carolina versus Texas A&M with a high school Georgia football versus high school Texas football. But
he didn't play in the highest level in Georgia.
For as much as it's, you know, has haunted Tennessee of losing Trevor Lawrence, I'd imagine losing this guy that grew up a Texas fan from the state of Texas is going to hurt just as badly for Texas, and they're in such a bad situation right now. And if you're Tom Herman, you're in a no-win situation. Like, you're done in that town. Like, we're talking about, like, on the field, they've been disappointing as well, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are picking them to go to the college football playoff, thought this was the year they were going to unseat Oklahoma. Because, I mean, like, the people that were saying that was right in that take. Because, like, Oklahoma doesn't look very good. Who won that game when they played? Oklahoma beat Texas this year?
Yeah.
So I guess overtimes.
Yes, that's right. I knew it went to four overtimes. It was the Georgia weekend, though, and I was drunk in Athens, so I didn't really remember who came out on top. So Oklahoma won that by a touchdown in the fourth overtime, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the guy's name? Ellinger threw an interception.
Okay. So, like, you're losing on the field. You haven't hit any of your expectations there. off the field, well, you got this recruiting where you know your number one player, the crown jewel, probably the guy that could have potentially saved Tom Harmon's job, was like, hey, I'm coming there. Although I guess if he's class of 2022, he's 2 years away, right?
Yeah.
He won't be this upcoming class. I don't know if he'd hurt save Tom Herman's job then if he was going to have to wait 2 years. Because, I mean, we haven't really talked about it, but there's that whole Eyes of Texas situation. Are you guys familiar at all with what's going on there with the Eyes of Texas?
Yep.
Hayden, are you familiar with what's going on there with the Eyes of Texas? Their alma mater, their fight song at the very end. Well, not even that's racist, although it does apparently have minstrel show ties. I think that's where the racism comes out of, is like it got popular at a minstrel show. But, like, that was a part of the concessions that the school was supposed to give the players, right? Because, I mean, like, we're just a couple months removed from, like, college football players having all this power, right? Like, whenever everyone's like, how are we going to get you to play this year? Black Lives Matter. Trust me, we believe you. Black Lives Matter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, some of the things that the Texas players said was, like, we don't want to have to stand out there for that song anymore. We don't like it. We don't like its history. We don't feel comfortable doing it. And then Tom Herman's like, yeah, okay, we're cool with it. But the university president and all the boosters are like, hey, boys, you better get out there and stand at attention for this song and pay respect to the privilege of being a Texas Longhorn and everything we afford you here. And, you know, then there's a real disconnect because Texas was just like, no. Or I guess the players that were just like, no. And Tom Herman's like, yeah, you don't have to do that. So like half the team was staying in the locker room or going back to the locker room because they played after the song, after the game. So they're losing the game or winning a close one and then going to the locker room like, we don't want to stand out there for that.
Yeah.
To which has infuriated all the boosters and the president. And Tom Herman's kind of caught in between a no-win situation here. He's kind of caught between a rock and the proverbial hard place because what do you do if you're Tom Herman? Do you tell your players, hey, you have to do this, and then you lose the locker room? Or do you say, hey, no, I'm siding with my players, and then you lose all the boosters and the president, and you already don't win enough games?
Didn't they also rename the stadium?
They had that was a part of like what they were asking for. I don't know what they've actually done. I don't know if it was Texas-specific, Hayden, but I know like Clemson players wanted them to change some buildings at Clemson that was named after slave owners. I know there was that all across the country. I'm sure there was something like that at Texas. I don't know. But I just do know like this fight song or this alma mater, whatever it's called, the Eyes of Texas has been, a argument in Austin all year. And now you have, like, half the band members saying they're not playing it anymore either. I don't know what happened this weekend, but, like, the band was like, hey, we're not going to play it either. So you have a real power struggle between old Texas and all the boosters who have given millions of dollars to the program that, you know, are proud of Texas. That do think, you know, I could see the disconnect there because they're like, hey, we love this university so much. Like, you know, we got a degree from here or whatever, and we've been gone on. We've made millions of dollars, and we care about Texas. We want these 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds who are just here for a couple years. Some of them might have grew up loving Texas. Some might just say, I want a D1 scholarship to go play football and maybe get to the NFL. We want you to love it as much as we do. Come here and be proud that you get to stand for the Eyes of Texas. And they're like, no, bro. Came from a minstrel show. We don't like that. We don't want to do that. That's stupid. We don't care about Texas like that. And then, like I said, Tom Herman has found himself in such a unwinnable situation. Do you go against your boss? Or do you go against your players? Because if you go against your players, you're not going to win any more games.
Yeah, you'll lose them.
And you're not going to win, and then you're going to get fired for that. If you're out with the players, chances are they still are going to win, you know, what, 6 games, 7 games at most?
Yeah.
Which probably still isn't going to be enough. And Tom Herman's going to be looking around saying, man, I am not long for this world here in Texas. There's a little irony there, right, though, that he lost his number one quarterback to Ohio State where he used to coach and, like, became a genius. Right? Like, I mean, that's when we started talking about Tom Herman being a genius, right, was when he was at Ohio State?
Yep.
Same thing that makes you laugh, makes you cry, I guess, huh? Okay. Look at what we can do at Ohio State. Look at what Ohio State's done these quarterbacks. No, it was me. I did that.
This kid does throw dimes.
I haven't seen him running any of these highlights, though.
I saw him run one, but it was just
fast?
Like,
did he look faster than Trevor Lawrence? Was he?
It was just a wide open lane on like a read option kind of thing. And
I mean, this kid. I mean, like usually they don't miss on the number one players in the country. Like I'd have to run through the exact list, but I feel like the number one players in the country usually are pretty good.
This guy's putting it on the money.
Draven, see if you can find me the list of number one players in the country from like the last decade, because I would be interested to see if all of them are good.
He is hitting some windows.
No, he's a beast. Holy cow. Quinn Ewers is going to be a supervillain in a couple years at Ohio State.
Okay, yeah.
If you're Texas, you're like, this is what the kid that's going to get us back.
This makes me feel so bad because I remember when I like watch highlights of like QBs we got coming in. None of them make throws like this.
What also makes me sad because I'm thinking of the, you know, the comparison there is Trevor Lawrence, and I'm like, yeah, man, how different would our program be right now if you just got Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
How different would the program be if you just got Trevor Lawrence? Sports betting is almost here, Tennessee. And FanDuel is giving you, our listeners, an exclusive offer to get started. They're giving our users $50 in free bets just for signing up, register, and verifying their account early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to navigate and find what you're looking for. Go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up, create your account, verify, and get your $50. Use the promo code TALKSPORTS, one word, so they know that we sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. I got my money in my account waiting for it to go live.
Oh, yeah.
Hayden, take us to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. This is weird. I just watched this movie last night. Do you know what movie this is from? Hayden? No? Draven? You know what movie that's from?
Yeah. I do.
Okay.
I do. This is the one time I feel like I actually knew
Cam,
what you were talking
did
about.
Did you know what movie that's from?
Not just off of that.
Yeah. I believe you, Draven. You don't have to prove it.
Okay. I was about to say, I'll say it if you need me to.
Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler's best movie, in my opinion.
Wedding Singer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great scene. Makes sense. He's upset, has to go back and sing, forced to
sing.
It's
tough, yeah. He was a wedding singer, and then, like, his wife or his fiance leaves him at the altar. Mm-hmm. So then he's, like, sad, and he has to go back to be a wedding singer, and it's just like, this is unhealthy. Yep. So then he sings Love Stinks about all the mutants at table number 9. And Bearded Lady and Fatty. And then the groom's dad punches him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You got that list of number one players? I'm
interested. Yeah, when
to
do you want to start? Do you want to start this past year or
just
what?
Just last decade. I mean, just run through. You could go in however order you want.
You go 10 to present?
Go to 10 to present because, yeah, we'll have more of data on those guys.
2010 number one player. Are we talking about the composite or the top 247?
Just go composite.
Okay, composite is Ronald Powell, weak side defensive end, signed with Florida.
I don't think he lived up to the hype.
He was a .9999.
Okay. Yeah. No, he lived up to the hype, so this is a bad exercise already. Okay, keep going.
Robert Woods was third, by the way. That's the only person I knew.
And Dominic Ealy was 4. I remember him.
Number one, 2011, Jadeveon Clowney.
Okay, he lived up to the hype.
He was a 1.000.
So he was a perfect score.
High as you can get.
Yeah, he was a perfect score. Yeah. Which I think they nailed that one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really good his freshman year and sophomore year, too. His junior year, he's like, I'm just going to take it.
The only other top guy in the top 5 I know is Lael Collins.
Okay.
Hey.
So.
Studded every level.
Mm-hmm. 2012, Doriel Green Beckham. It's kind of weird that Missouri got the number one guy, but.
He was a beast in college, mm-hmm. then got in complete trouble and.
Titans drafted him in the second round.
He was in the league for a little bit, but he was. We traded him for DeMarco Murray. He was a part of the DeMarco Murray trade and then got cut by the Eagles pretty shortly after. It was out of the league. He couldn't stay out of trouble.
Okay, 2013, Robert Condici.
I feel like he was pretty good at Ole Miss, right?
He was also with a purpose score.
Yeah. He was good in college.
Jalen Smith at number 2.
And he wasn't good in the NFL, but he still was like a top 5 draft pick, right? Didn't he get drafted to the Cardinals in the top five?
Pretty high, I think so.
Either way.
Four of the top 5 there are actually still in the NFL, so.
Sounds like they nailed that.
Pretty good top.
They had Laramie Tunsil, Vernon Hargraves.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
2014 number one player, Leonard Fournette.
Okay. Another stud at college. Made the NFL. Been good there.
Number 2, Myles Garrett. Number 3, Jabril Peppers.
Pretty solid. All good.
2015, Tristan Thompson. Trenton Thompson.
Never heard of him.
Defensive tackle, signed with Georgia.
I don't know him either.
I don't know him.
So it's kind of weird we have no quarterback so far.
No, yeah. The only person of that top 5 that actually I've ever heard of is Derwin James. He was number 5.
He was a stud.
He was.
Have there been any quarterbacks in the top 5 these other years? Like, we haven't mentioned them.
Let's see.
Okay, not yet. You get it in 2016, though.
2016, there's two. Number one player, Rashawn Gary, signed with Michigan. Perfect score. The four player was Shea Patterson, signed with Ole Miss. Five player was Jacob Eason.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, those quarterbacks didn't really pan out.
And then...
So what do we learn from this exercise? Are we learning anything? Like, I feel like they don't really hit the top five guys. I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot. Like, it's...
Yeah. 2017, Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, okay. So it sounds like just being the number one player does not guarantee you success, it doesn't seem.
I know Jalen Phillips.
Even at the quarterback position, being in the top five doesn't really guarantee you anything because Shea Patterson wasn't very good.
2018, they nailed their top two, I think.
Who was that?
It was Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields were one and two.
They nailed those guys. They nailed those guys. Good job by them.
Yeah, I mean.
But it seems like it's just kind of, I don't want to say a crapshoot, but like, because I mean, like, you do have a Clowney, you do have a Myles Garrett, you do have some guys that are can't miss, but then you have some misses in there. So, never mind. That wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought, like, the number one would always be a stud, but I guess not.
Not every year. I never heard of that guy you were talking about, Cam, the guy who went to UCLA.
I had just heard about him when he was, like, coming out from recruiting.
Jalen Phillips, weak side defensive
end. Yeah, super fast.
He probably has the lowest star rating of any of the number ones, though. He's got like a .9889. That's the lowest one, probably.
Okay. Draven, you asked who's been more disappointing the last decade, Tennessee or Texas? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Texas has been better than Tennessee, right? But I mean, like...
Overall, yeah, record-wise.
I would say it's been more frustrating for Texas, though. I mean, I feel like they have some type of birthright to be good.
And also, shouldn't they just be, like, dominating the Big 12? I feel like they should be, like, always on the top, always the powerhouse in that conference.
Or at least, like, right there, number two with Oklahoma.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
You should be going, you know, one loss at most in that conference.
Right. And they've had how many, like, seven and five years?
I mean, they've been, I mean, the last, I don't know, have we had a better decade than them? We might have had a better decade than them. I mean, they have the one Sugar Bowl win.
Over Georgia.
But that's it. I mean, they lost the BCS championship in 2009, right? That was like Mac Brown's last good year. Mm-hmm. That was in 2009. They lose to Alabama. And I really thought they almost won that Alabama game. Like if their quarterback didn't get hurt,
Colt McCoy,
and then like Alabama didn't try that fake, was it a fake punt they tried?
I think so.
They got that fake punt, I think. But since then, Texas has gone 5-7, 8-5, 9-4, 8-5. They fire Mac Brown there in 2013. Then they bring in Charlie Strong. He goes 6-7, 5-7, 5-7. They fire him. Tom Herman goes 7-6, 10-4, 8-5, and they'll probably go something like 6-4 or 7-3 this year, but doesn't really count. So, like, they might have. They would have been more disappointing.
I say they're more disappointing just because nationally they're expected to be better than they are every year.
Like, well, and they just. We always have to guess. Like, we question sometimes, at least here with all these buyouts and the money, like, do we have the money? Do we have the money to be serious? Because we don't necessarily. Treat ourselves like we're serious.
Yep.
Texas doesn't have to worry about that. Texas is always like, hey, we're going to try to hire the best guy available. Like, we weren't able to get Charlie Strong. They were. Tom Herman, they beat LSU for Tom Herman. Like, they've gotten their two choices. That's what would be frustrating for me if I was a Texas fan, right? It's like, we've gotten the two guys we wanted. They wanted Charlie Strong. They got Charlie Strong. They wanted Tom Herman. They got Tom Herman. And they haven't done anything with it, other than they won the Sugar Bowl that one year Georgia didn't try.
That's like the one thing I feel like they got going for them over us in the last decade is just that New Year's Bowl win.
And it was the game that like Georgia wasn't trying.
Right, right.
Half their guys were sitting out, and you're like, they don't really care about this. They want to be in the playoff.
Yep.
But they won that game, and that kind of that led to the infamous moment of we're back. No, no, you're not. You went back and won eight games the next year. You went 7-5 in the regular season, bro. You're not back. You're not. That would be way more frustrating, though, because at least at Tennessee, we're kind of like, oh, man, we got to go bargain bin hunting. Like, we lost to Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, and Jimmy Pruitt. None of those guys were anyone's first option. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, no one thought Derek Dooley should be head coach of Tennessee. Butch Jones was not Tennessee's first choice. I don't know what number choice he was, but he was at least after Charlie Strong. Which, granted, I don't think Charlie Strong would have won here either. And then Jerry Pruitt, obviously, was Tennessee's, like, seventh choice. Last go-round. So for Texas, who has the money to do everything they want to do, they still suck.
Yep.
And they have all the in-state talent you could ever want. they could field a team just based off of Texas, and they would feel like they should win the Big 12. We can't do that with Tennessee. It's gotten better. Don't get me wrong. It's gotten better, and we are close to Georgia, and we're close to, you know, North Carolina. We're around some talent, but still, it's all right in their backyard.
Yeah.
So I'd say Texas has been infinitely more frustrated than we are. And, like, I know it wasn't a part of the comparison, but then I would add in, like, what the hell's going on with our basketball program at Texas? Where we haven't done anything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, Rick Barnes is a part of that, too, right? Like, Rick Barnes is a part of that, too, like, not doing anything. I mean, what's Texas done in basketball recently? Anything?
Nothing I can think of.
I don't even know.
I mean, like, last...
They had Mobamba that one year.
Since they did have Mobamba, which, I mean, I'm sure they can play Mobamba, like, at their games. They lost in the, is it the Sweet 16, I guess? Or I guess the Elite Eight, or the second round? It's weird now because they got the first round, second round, and it's different. It means different things now. But I think they lost in the second round in 2014. They bring Rick Barnes back. He loses in the first round the next year, which had to be disappointing because they were ranked as high as number 6 that season, losing the first round. And then they fire Rick Barnes, and then Shaka Smart has got them to the play-in game twice, and they've lost the play-in game both times.
Jeez. KD was there, what, 2000?
That would have been 2007, right?
Yeah, 2007, 2008 year.
No, it would be just 06, 07, right?
Yeah.
Mm. So they only went 25-10, yeah, lost second round, so.
That would have been the year, right? Yeah, because they lost in the second round there. Yeah. Because that was like Greg Oden. It was 07, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you add that, like, they haven't made it to the Sweet 16 in basketball since 2011.
Oof.
So that's a decade without a Sweet 16 appearance.
They let Baylor dominate that conference.
Yeah, like, I would just be so frustrated if I was a Texas fan. And again, they fired Rick Barnes, and they got the hire they wanted. Everyone wanted Shaka Smart. No one could get Shaka Smart out of VCU.
Yep.
Texas was able to, and it hasn't worked out for them, so... That would just be so much more frustrating as a Texas fan. Like, you're doing everything you think is the right move, and it's just not working out. Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.